Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, you know, little did you know it when you came to church here today, but I'm here to tell you that your salvation is at stake. Really. I'm not joking when I say that. Does that startle you? Good. Perhaps finally I've got your attention for a sermon. But there's more. Even more shocking. Here it is. Not only is your salvation at stake today, but your salvation does not depend on you. You are purposely left out of the battle to win and accomplish your salvation. You don't participate at all. Not even for a millisecond. Someone has to fight for you and win your salvation for you. Someone, you know, like that little shepherd boy who a long time ago fought for the nation of Israel and who defeated the enemy. You remember the giant Goliath, that Philistine? Shepherd boy David, against all odds, slingshotted a stone into Goliath's forehead and made him shorter by a head. And the giant was defeated. And David's victory was Israel's victory. And now we see a champion who has come to fight, a descendant of that little boy, King David, Mary's boy, who grew up whittling and carving wood with his stepfather, Joseph. And I'm here to tell you that your salvation depends on him. And how well he battles another monster like Goliath, Satan himself. Jesus has volunteered to fight for you, to save you. And his salvific work for you comes under full frontal satanic attack. Who will win the battle? Will Jesus? If so, you are saved. But what if Satan wins the battle? Well, then you're lost, unforgiven, and damned in your sin. And so we'd better see how it goes. There he is! Dripping wet from his baptism in the Jordan. You remember that, don't you? The Heavenly Father preached quite a sermon that day on our Lord's baptism. And the sermon went like this. Do you remember? The Father said, "Do you see Jesus? That's my boy. He is my beloved and priceless son. Oh, I'm deeply pleased with him." There you have it. The Father's categorical proclamation that Jesus is his beloved son. Let there be no doubts, brothers and sisters. Do not listen to any other words. Oh, you were listening, right? Jesus is God's son. The Father has had his say-so. There are no better words than what the Father preached at the Jordan River. "This is my beloved son. I am well pleased with him." And then, as quickly as you can say Bob's your uncle, the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that lighted upon Jesus at his Jordan River baptism, throws a big hanging curveball, something that you'd never expect. You're buckled at the knees and you're shaking your head in dismay. Why? Well, because according to the text, the Spirit marshals his Son of Godness, Jesus, smack dab into the desolate desert, the wasteland wilderness, no food or water in sight. 40 days and 40 nights, Son of God Jesus goes without a meal or a drink. Can you imagine? He's starving, absolutely famished. He's feeble, he's faint, puny, and pathetic. He's got to be at the end of his rope. And at this point in his life, he is extremely vulnerable. The wilderness is Satan's turf, Satan's crib. And so he prowls around seeking whom he may devour. And lo and behold, he sees none other than the at-risk, fragile, helpless, and all alone Son of God, Jesus. And so it is time to put Jesus, Son of Godness, to the test. Time to defeat this descendant of David and put the world ruthlessly and tyrannically under full satanic control. And so Satan, the red dragon, pulls a Garden of Eden, version 2.0. You know, it worked before, so why not try it again? You remember, don't you? We heard it earlier. Adam and Eve, they were pushovers. They were not content to remain creatures by trusting God the Father and the Father's word, especially the Father's word that had been preached to them. Instead, they believed another sermon, Satan and his preaching. Did God actually say, huh? That's what the serpent diabolically asks. And Satan essentially says, well, of course he didn't. You can't trust God the Father. He's a liar. He's holding out on you, Adam and Eve, and he's holding you back. Satan tells them, I've got better words for you, better words for you. Oh, the sky is the limit, Adam and Eve. Live up to your potential. You can be, remember what he said? You can be God. Divinity is within your reach. Divinity is within you, he told Adam and Eve. You can now call the shots as a God withinner. I give you my word. And of course, the rest is history, as they say. A world has been wrecked. It is now a chaotic mess. Everything is ruined. A world is held in bondage to sin and death. The epistle put it this way: many died by the trespass of the one man, Adam. A world is now at complete odds with God because our first parents believed a lie. They trusted a false word. They listened to another sermon, Satan's. And so, as the epistle said, the judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. So, you know, why not put Jesus, the second Adam, and his Son of Godness to the test? I mean, it sure looks like this Jesus could crack. Where's the Father now? And so Satan goes to work. Will Jesus now live according to his Father's sermon at his baptism? Or will Jesus abandon his Son of Godness for a lie? Your salvation, brothers and sisters, your salvation rides on how Jesus fares. Satan attacks him with three gargantuan temptations, all putting his Son of Godness to the test. Will Jesus, in his weakened condition, be able to withstand the devil's well-planned onslaught? In his weakened state, what weapon does Jesus have at his disposal to fend off the red dragon's dicey temptations? Did you notice? How does Jesus resist turning the rocks into piping hot loaves of bread? How does he resist leaping off the pinnacle of the temple into cotton soft angel wings? How does he resist bowing the knee? That's all he had to do. One time, just a little bow. How does he resist that? Did he sling a smooth stone into Satan's forehead? No. What did he do? He spoke. The almighty weapon comes from his mouth. He speaks God's word against the devil. A man does not live by bread alone, Jesus says, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. You should not put the Lord your God to the test. Worship the Lord your God alone. Those are all quotes from where? Deuteronomy. From Israel's history of wandering in the wilderness. When Israel, like Adam, would not trust God's word for her life, when she would not trust God's promises, when Adam, Eve, and Israel wouldn't and didn't, it all ended so badly and so tragically and so hellaciously. But now with Jesus, the second and the last Adam, and Israel reduced to one, it's a whole different ballgame. Jesus puts his entire life, his entire existence, his entire ministry into his Father's hands by trusting his Father's word. You are my son. I am well pleased with you. That's what the Father preached at his baptism. Son of God, Jesus will stay the course. He will live as God's son. And that means being obedient, living under his Father's word, trusting his Father's word of promise. Listen to it again. A man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test, and worship the Lord your God alone. And so Jesus sends the red dragon reeling by speaking God's Holy Spirit-filled word. Jesus, like the little shepherd boy David, wins the battle against the Goliath-like Satan. Jesus is victorious. He defeats Satan by trusting his Father's word. And that victory that Jesus won against the devil counts for you. He did that for you. In this battle, your salvation has been done. Jesus comes as your substitute to win your salvation. And where are you? You're put on the bench. Just watch him fight, and the rout is on. The devil didn't stand a chance, never did. And soon Jesus will give the red dragon the crushing and final blow, which is Calvary, where he wins salvation for you entirely and completely. But now Satan is furious at this point in Jesus' ministry, and he rages on the earth since he's been kicked out of heaven forever. And so now where does Satan attack? He attacks you. And his game plan hasn't changed. The satanic onslaught against you is this. Did God really say that the cross really counts for you? I mean, do the math, Satan tells you. Your sins and Jesus' death. I mean, your sins, count them. Oh, that's right. You can't because there's so many of them. So many that you don't even know the half of them. And all that sin of yours, oh, it's deadly and it's toxic. Granted, Satan tells you, granted, you know, Jesus gave it his best shot. But, you know, let's face it, your sin is just too much for the crucified. So, you know, you'd better just follow me instead of that slain weak lamb. You know, you can be a little divinity with my help. Yes, that's right. I'll help you reach your potential. Jesus can't. And he won't. Look at you. You're a disaster. Brothers and sisters, there's only one way to fight off the red dragon's assaults against you. Do you know how to do it? Do you know how to do it? It is the sword of the Spirit. And the Spirit's sword is Christ's word of promise. So how do you do battle? Here's how you do. You say, listen here, Satan. I'm a sinner. That's right. That's true. I'm a sinner. And I'm pretty good at it. But Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. And that means that he died for me and that I am forgiven. That's what he says. In addition, Satan, Jesus promises that those who believe in him have eternal life. Satan, Jesus has given me his unthwartable word of promise that whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Satan, I tell you, Jesus personally pledges that his body and blood and the sacrament are given for me and for the forgiveness of all my sin. So, Mr. Red Dragon, leave me alone. Go talk to Jesus. He is truly God's son, and he is son of God for me, totally and completely. Oh, what's that, Mr. Red Dragon? What did you say? You don't want to go see Jesus and hear his word? I knew that. So get lost. Buzz off, slink into your hole, Jesus died for me. He rose for me. He's covered me with all of his obedience, and he's cleansed me with his divine blood. All my sins forgiven. He's told me that. He's promised me. What's that, Satan? What did you say? You don't want to hear that? Too bad. Too bad, Satan. So take a hike. Take a hike, you slimy, ugly, defeated snake. Jesus is the Lord. He is the Son of God for me. In the name of Jesus, amen.